The Kum Lein Ablak Yomar Rotsa Pevav Adal of the Mishnah. We have the same question that Rabbi or Rava asks in a few places here in the Gemara, which is we're looking for premium quality, and if the thing is not premium quality, like we had the worms inside the wheat or worms, you know, worms inside the wood, it's possible you're not allowed to bring it up. And then he asks the question: is it treated like an animal that has a defect? An animal that has a defect, not only you shouldn't bring it up, but if you consecrate it, you have a five of eight, it's five lavin. It's the same punishment also if you consecrate flour that's poor quality, or if you consecrate oil that was, you know, was cooked and marinated, and all the bad odor and all that. And his question is as follows. You know, by an animal, there's a defect in the animal, the chassan is in the animal itself. The animal itself is flawed, so you're not allowed to be consecrated. When oil is flawed, it has a defect, or when wheat has a defect, how do we view that? Is the pshat the wheat itself is no good? Or the pshat is the wheat is still wheat, but it's inappropriate for you as a person to be makir that, you know, hakrivei you know lefel chasach, would you offer this to your officer? So in other words, the problem is you, on the gavra, not on the person. And that's his question. All of these chesaron we're learning here, is it a chesaron, a psul, in the animal, it's in the thing itself, so just like an animal, balmum, and if you consecrate it, you're over five ways. But if we say it's not a chesaron in the weed itself, it's a chesaron in you to present such a thing to the Eibishter, it's a reflection on you, on your attitude to the Eibishter, then there's no aver, there's no love. So that's his question. So up to now the mission, and now we're talking, continuing talking about oil, how we make sure. True, but that's not, it's not. By an animal, the problem is the animal itself, the Torah says, is a mum, the animal is no good. Here, the wheat is still wheat. It's just a passage that you should bring such a kind of wheat as such a thing today. It's more reflection on you. That's basically his teku. Now we're talking about the olives. We're talking about the oil that you have to use. Now remember, oil we use in the Beis Hamikdash for menorah, and we also use oil in the Beis Hamikdash for the menachos. And we want premium quality. Do we need premium quality for both sides, menachos and oil, as well as the menorah, or the menorah perhaps is even exceeds that which we demand for the menachos? So the mishnah is as follows. This mishnah is used in the world of chinuch. I'll tell you in a minute. Shloisha zeisim hein. There are three periods that they harvest the olives. Uvehen shloisha, shloisha shmanim. There are three periods. When you collect the olives, and in there, there are three different, within each harvesting of olives, there are three levels of oil with these olives. Hazayis edition, the very first olives you harvest are the ones that are always on top of the tree, so they're ones that have the most sun, the sun soaks them, and therefore they are ripe earlier than all the other olives. Is megargurei bereish hazayis, that you leave it there until it gets fully ripe, the kaitish, that you take it and you pound it, and v'noisin l'teichasal, when you pound it, if the olive itself, nothing's going to happen, but if you give it a little crack of a pound, then it starts oozing out slowly. You place it in the basket, and what oozes out is the oil that's right near the surface. This is the real oil. It's not the oil that has to, you have to, you know, squeeze it out, which comes together with pieces. This is the premium oil. This is called rishon shebirishon. And you put that in a basket, and the basket serves as a filter. That underneath the basket, you have a keli, that a receptacle that receives all that oil. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we have a sort of additional filter here. Svivay sasal, you cling it to the sides of the basket so that it runs down the basket, the walls of the basket, and that itself serves as a filter. So you have two filters: you have the walls of the basket, and you have the floor of the basket.
For that oil in English, I don't
remember the virgin oil. Not what they say virgin oil today, but that's like real virgin oil. Zedishin, that's called the first. Then stage two was, after that oil came out, Chaza v'toyim b'kari, he placed a beam on it, and the weight of the beam forced more oil to come out, and it's still not squeezing it out yet, so that you're still getting really good oil, but it's not as fine and clear as the first one. Rabbi Yehuda im bavonim, don't use a beam because the beam is very heavy and therefore it is pressing too much. Use stones. Zesheini. Then chaza v'tochen. Now you ground the rest of the olive v'ton, and then you put one of these beams on it to weigh it down further. And zeshlishi. Now already getting the third quality, third level of oil, because pieces will come out as well. Harishin. Yeah, and then they would put a thing on top of that again to weigh it down and to push out, you know, the, extract the rest of the oil. What do you call it? So harisha and the first oil that came out, limonada. That's strictly, exclusively for limonada. Vashar and stage two and stage three, limonachas. Both of them are good enough for limonachas. Hasheni, what was the second picking? The second picking was megargaroi beroisha gag. This already was either they used to take the olives and put them on the roof of the house to dry up, or the level of the tree, which is equal to the level of the roof. This is the middle of the tree. These take longer to mature. Now, also, of course, the sun is not really drenching them with, you know, with the sun, so therefore it's an inferior class category of olives. And the same procedure goes through here again. V'koitish, first you get pounded, v'nois in the techasal, you place in the basket, and that's number one rishon. That's the virgin oil. You put it around the basket, same thing. Zerishon. Then the second stage, toyim b'koitish, place a beam on it, v'yudayim b'avonim stones. Zersheni. Then Then you go ahead and you grind it with and you place a beam on it. There, shlishi, harisha and the virgin oil. That's limonada. That's exclusively for the limonada. Bahashar, stage two, stage three, limonachs. Shlishi. What's the third category of olives, which is the latest picking? This is the one that's on the bottom of the tree. Is and these ones over here. But they had very tall trees, and if the midpoint of the tree was the height of the roof, another they could have very low houses. When we learned in Basra, a house is 10 tefachim high. And now the third category, where are we? Shlishi, the third one, which is the bottom, itendo bebeis habad, they place it there in the place where they press the olives, and they just let it sit there, achiyilke, until it rots a little bit, so that the skin should soften up. Umaleyu, umenagve bereshagag, then they bring it up to the roof, and they let it sit there, and let it dry over there, and they're pressing all together, it dries up together. That the juice starts flowing out. So the first juices that flow out, so you give it a little bang, the first juice is the virgin oil, and you place it in the basket, same procedure as before, around the basket, and then you place the beam, the first oil, the virgin oil is the menada, and the rest is for menachas. Says Gemari Boy Luhu, you said the first one, as soon as they go to the top of the tree, it says Megargaroi. Megargaroi means you leave it there until they're fully mature. Is that the Girsa of the Mishnah? Megargaroi Tanam, you leave it there mature? Or Megalgaroi Tanam? Or is the word actually Megalgaroi, which more or less means the same thing? So which one is Megargaroi means you pick only the ones that are 100% ripe and leave the ones that are not 100% ripe behind? Or you just leave it there, don't touch anything until all of them are 100% ripe? That's how the Rashi in the bottom of the page learns. The Rashi in the top of the page learns, they both mean the same thing. It's just a question which word are we using? We're using Megargaroi to say leave it there till they're all ripe, or Megargaroi. Toshma Gavane, Tanya, we learn Shem and Zayis, the Shem and Zayis, the olive oil, is Mezesa, let it flow from the olive itself when it's 100% ready. Mikan Omru, Zayis Rishon, the very first category of olives, Megalgaloi Beresh Azayis, says Megalgaloi, which means you leave it until it's ripe. As opposed to, according to the other Rashi, Megagre, which means you pick the ones that are ready. Just leave them all until they're fully ripe. Then Vekoinze, the Beis Habad, and you bring it down to the Beis Habad. V'teichna, this is a person who made a nether, he's bringing his Zaysim. You bring it down, V'teichna, you grind it, B'lechaim, in the middle of the Neisne, B'salin, and you put it in the basket. Shemana, Yaitzi Menes, the Hayerishin. The first oil is considered the Rishon, the first oil that comes out, V'ton, B'koide, and then you put a beam on it, Shemana Yitzimena Zahayashani, that was a Shani. and the chazer a parak, and then afterwards you take a parak and v'tor, and that's shlishi. And then you crush it, you grind it again, and you put your shlishi. And so on and so forth. It repeats the whole process again. Then where are we? B'chein zayi shein, the same thing. V'zayi shlishi, and the third one, oiten the beis habad. You leave it there in the beis habad ad sheyilka, until it rots. V'yamayla reshagag, and then you skin it softer. Then you bring it to the roof. Oizay kemi tamri, you make it like a date. Ad sheyizay v'memu, no, you press them all together until the juice starts flowing out on its own. The coin zayi the beis habad, you bring it into the beis habad. V'teichere berchaim, you crush it. V'noyse the besal and oil. V'shoyiz v'zayi rishon. The first one is Tom Bekoida, Shem Reitz, and Menor Zehoyesheni, Parak, you took it out, Chazav Atochen, you grounded it, Tom Zehoyeshlishi, Harishnam Neir Vashar Menachas. Rabbi Yudah Emeloya Teichne Berechaim Elokoichim Machteshes. He says, I didn't, Rabbi Yudah says, no, according to this Bryce, it's very different than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said in stage one, there's no grinding. All you do is you pound it with a hammer and you make a few cracks over there and then you let it sit there and the oil that oozes out, that's virgin oil. The Braise says, no. First, you crush them a little bit in the base of Bad, and then the oil that oozes out on its own, that's the dishon. That's the Braise. He's arguing with our Mishnah. However, Rabbi Yehuda in this Braise says, Lo yahu yotokne b'rechayim, they didn't use a mill. Elo koichim machteshes, they banged it with a hammer, and that is what our Mishnah holds. So our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda himself argues. In fact, here also. V'lo ha yotayim b'kayde, the stage two wasn't they put a beam on it, it's too heavy, ela b'avani stones. And yet our Mishnah starts out like Rabbi Yehuda, that they didn't crush it, they used a hammer. But then it says they used a beam. That's Gemara's question. V'lo ha yonaisin b'salin, they didn't place in a basket, el techsviv zasal. So two respects, our Mishnah does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And in one respect, it seems to be, it is Rabbi Yehuda. What's going on here? Fredi Gemara, Hagu Fakasha. Koitish Mani, who's author of our Mishnah when it comes to crushing? It's Rabbi Yehuda. We don't crush it, we just bang it, we pound it. And yet, when it comes to placing the basket and the beam and all that, Tei Chasal, Asal Rabbanan. How does that work? Haitana Solik of the Chodah, Upolik of the Chodah. He actually argues in two. I'm not sure what says Chodah. He agrees with one, which is Abba, that you don't put it in the mill, you just take a hammer and you pound it. But he disagrees with the other two, which is you put it on the bottom of the basket, and you put a beam on it, not stones. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. So we just said there are three categories of grapes. You know, the superior one, the inferior, and the very inferior, depending which part of the tree it is, how much sun it received. And then we said within each olive, there are three stages, the very first oil that comes out, and the second oil that comes out, you know, just weighing it down, and then the third oil that you crush it. So which ones are you supposed to use? Says the Mishnah, this is the rule. Harishin Sheberishin, the category is olive A, and grade A. That is superior. It exceeds everything else. Hasheni Shibarishan. So that's number one. Hasheni Shibarishan. The number, what do you call it? Olive one, but grade two, or grade B. So olive one and grade B. The Harishan Shibarishani. And olive two and grade A, Shovin. As far as the basic measure is concerned, they have equal, they're equal. The virgin oil of grade two is equal to not so virgin oil of the first picked olives.
So is this for the melachos of the tzibur also yochid? This melachos also has to bring this?
No, this is only for the melachos tzibur. Yeah. And melachos yochid, we say you should bring mivchan udreichem. You should try to get the best, but it's not ma'akev or anything else. It's not ma'akev. Yeah. So when it comes to menada, we already learned the menada is always the horishon menada. So there's no, even though gray, always it says use the first one, you cannot use gray beef. We're talking about menachas. So for menachas, as far as menachas are concerned, olives one, grade B, or olives two and grade A is the same thing, or either or. Hashlisha shibedishin, olive one, grade three, grade C, and the hasheni shibesheni and olive two, grade B, and harisha b'shlishi and olive three, grade A, shavin. They're all the same quality. What I mean, what?
It's still olive one. You have three harvests.
Menorah is only grade A in every stop.
First harvest,
No, you can use it. No, no, no. From an A, you can use any one of the three, but it has to be grade A.
It's grade A, but if it's good for menorah, why it's equalized to the grade B or grade C?
Because menachas has different rules than grade menorah. Menorah can only use grade A because it says kosses lamor.
I understand.
So for menachas, you don't need kosses lamor. So you can have either, but you want good quality. So good quality is grade B. We're not going to have grade A of olive one because it's too expensive. So grade B of olive one and grade A of olive two is exactly the same. So if you're bringing a mincha, you can choose either one.
For me.
Yes.
But grade A is still good for menorah.
It's only good for menorah. Menorah has no choice.
You take it because you need a lot of oil for the menorah. Every night.
I don't get it.
What don't you get?
It's not good for menorah. It doesn't matter which carbon.
That's right.
So
correct.
Why you equalize
it? Menachas. We're talking about you mixing things up.
Okay.
We're not talking about menorah anymore. Finished. Off the table.
Listen, you'll think of Hanukkah.
Okay.
We're not talking about menorah anymore. Yeah. Okay. So even though, as far as mincha is concerned, grade B of group A, of group 1, is equal to grade A of group 2, you cannot use grade B for menorah because it's not virgin oil.
Okay.
Okay, good. No problem. Now, hashlishi shebesheni, grade C of level 2, and vasheni shebesheni, and grade B of category 3, shavin. And hashlishi shebesheni, category 3, and grade 3, ein lemate mena. There's nothing lower than that.
But it's still good
for mincha, yeah. Standalone, exactly. But they're all good for mincha. But you should always get better. Because you have to always try to get better. So we're telling you that you don't have to get the category 1. Category 2 is just as good. We're saying we're just as good.
And price is different.
Yeah, now. Yet when it comes to menorah, you can use category 3, grade A, which even though it's equal only to category 2, grade B, and it's good enough for menorah. And from here, all the mechanchim in all the chinuch svarim brings out from here, how can that be? How can it be when it comes to mincha, we say that category 3, grade A, is inferior and it's only equal to category 2, grade B. And yet for menorah, we say that, for lichtigkeit, we say that this is good enough. So they say from here, we've learned the following. That you cannot expect mold everybody in the same way. We don't expect everyone to be AA. What we expect everyone to be is whichever group they're in, that they have to be the best that they can be. They have to be the A in their group. And if they're the A in their group, they can be group C. They're most inferior, they're not very bright, whatever, it doesn't matter. If they are working very hard and they are number one in their group, that's perfect for menorah and menorah, and which is forget what we say in Rosh Hashanah. Forget that. What about we do Rosh Hashanah? We say Tiroj Velazonov. Which one should it be? Pick you up and says forget.
Yeah, but if it's a royal, it makes the Zayin.
But no, you don't say that. You just say it's always better to be a Rosh generally than a Zonov, and then pick you up as we say forget. How do you work that out? When you work that out, then we can worry about this.
But the only difference between A and us is that A is free flow.
It's virgin. There's no pieces in there. Okay. Af kol ha-menaches, all the menaches, ha-yibedin, technically, logically, really, all menaches, the din should be shiton Hashem Azayzach, should also have the same requirement by menorah. Ma menorah, she'en lechila, ma'lech menorah is not consumed. Tu'un Hashem Azayzach, you need such premium quality oil. Menorah, she'en lechila, menorah, which get eaten by the Mizbeach, get eaten by Okainim, ain't a din she'yiton Hashem Azayzach, she has the purest of oil. Tamalaymer. Therefore, the pasuk says, when it comes to lightning menorah, zoch kosis lamor lahal lamor. Only for moi there's a requirement. The ain zoch kosis lamenachas. They don't have the requirement for menachas. Says the gemara, Shavin, you're telling me. He's asking your question. You're telling me that the grade B is equal of group 1 is equal to grade A of group 2. For Amr, you said before, rishon lamenorah from menorah, you could always only use grade A. Never use grade B. This Mishnah is not talking about menorah anymore. This Mishnah is only focusing on menachas. Av kol menachas hayibedin. Then when we learn, it says a pasuk zoch. You should take shemen zayis zoch. Ein zoch el naki. What does zoch mean? Zoch means that it should be pure. It should have. There shouldn't have any pieces. And Rabbi Yudan Rida says, that was the very first premium oil comes out on its own. There's nothing there. You didn't extract, you didn't press anything. Whatever came out was there on the surface, was right on its own. It says in the Pasuk, Shemazai Zoch, Kossi Slamoy. Kossi, what does Kossi mean? It's not good enough. You know, the first opinion is the Braisa that says it doesn't matter whether you press down, you press it down, or even you put it in a mill and you crush it a little bit. What you're getting, the first oil that comes out, is always the purest. Now, Buddha says, no. We're not going to use a mill at all. In fact, it has to be kosis, which means kotish. You pound it and that's it. No crushing from the mill. Yochol, I would have thought, Yehei Zoch, Kosis, Posse, Menachas. I would have thought, because it says Lamoir, as if to say, it's only kosher for Moir. But for Menachas, maybe grade A is not kosher for Menachas. Not only isn't it sought after, it's not even kosher for Menachas.
So there's
a kosher, Lamoir. Dafka grade B. We don't know why. That's not priority for cash. We would have thought the Torah says that Shemazai Zoch, Kosis, Lamoir. It's a kosher that this can only be used for Moir. And you cannot use this oil for other things. That's what we thought. Tamalaymer, therefore we find a pasuk which it talks about menachas, and there it says, V'yisoren soilis bol b'shemen kossis. It says there that you should mix it with oil that's kossis. So we see clearly what, that the kossis can also be referring to menachas. So why does it say in the pasuk lamoy as if to limit it to moy? Well, it's not true. You use it for menachas as well. Because of the loss, we had this before. What do you mean because of the loss? The Torah is very concerned about Yiddish geld. You shouldn't lose your money. And how? Interesting here because Rashi here says, how do you know the Torah has rachmanis? And this Rashi Chumash brings it down by a mitzayra. We say that a kohen, before he goes to the house to see if there's leprosy in the house, first he tells him remove all the furniture. And we say, what kind of furniture, before I come and pronounce the house tummy, what kind of furniture? We're talking about furniture that can never be, things that can be go to the mikveh, like clothing and all that. Don't worry about it. It's things that, like the cheddar, things that cannot be table, we do worry about. That's what Rashi says here, that's what Rashi says in Chumash. But we had this in the Gemara just a week ago, and there the Gemara brought a whole different raya. It brought a raya from actually a little bit of this parsha, but mainly parsha Shlach, where it says by the main medivah, he said, I will give you water, and so you'll have enough water to provide for all the people and for the animals. So the Eibishter was also worried about the life of the animals. And from there you learn out that the Eibishter has achmonis on their money. The reason why you have this, why we need over here... Anyway, so it seems they have two limudim, but why Rashi brings a different limud here rather than what we had in Gemara a week ago, I'm not sure. Okay. Anyhow, the idea is that if you have to only use premium, this first oil, you only get a little bit of oil out of each olive. See how expensive it is? Because there's a lot of labor. There's a lot of labor involved because every olive produces a little bit, a tiny bit of oil, if the first oil that comes out, and it'll cost a fortune. So therefore, only for Menorah, one, you know, every night, Menorah, that's enough. For Menorah, they brought so many Menorahs, you can't insist to have that. So, and in fact, the Torah is saying, don't use it. I'm advising you not to be such a machmir, don't use it because it's too expensive. And so, Shadi de Shigil. Tavit Bnei Yisrael. Sorry? That doesn't help at the moment. Okay. It's the question is not why both sources are needed. The question is why Rashi decided to bring here the other source rather than the one before. That's the right question. Even if you can explain to me why I need two sources, but the Gemara before us talked about, you know, that other mocker over there, why change over here? Anyway. It says, Eilecha, the oil is for you, but loyli not for me. Famous Gemara, we had a Shabbos. I don't need this light. I don't need this light. I don't need the light for me. Shulchan Tzofen, where was the table on the north side? When you remember the Beis HaMikdash, the door was from east, it was on the east side, and you walked in towards the west. The right was the north, the left was the south. So the menorah was on the right side. The table was on the right side. That's why if you want to become rich, you davar shemnesa, you face north. And the menorah was on the left side. If you want to become smart, you daven facing to the south, a little bit to the south, southeast or whatever. And the mizbeach was right in the center. So, I don't need the table for me to eat. I don't need the menorah for me to light. Because if it would, as Rashi explains, then the shulchan and the menorah would have been right next to each other. Instead, he has them two separate ends of the room with a mizbeach in between. When you eat, you want light on the table. You put the menorah on the table, right next to the table. Here was the other extreme of the room, and you had a mizbeach over there intersecting the two. So therefore, I don't need the light at all. It says in the pasuk, "Vayas lebayi zebish." They made for the base of midrash chaloyne windows shkufim that are very wide and atumim that are very narrow. Usually, you'll have a narrow. If you have a narrow and wide window, you would have the narrow side on the outside, and it gets wider and wider as it comes towards the house. So the sun spreads, disseminates the light all over the window, disseminates the light throughout the room. But here, there's another way around. Tanya, we learned shkufim mibefanim. We learned what do you call it? Actually, the gersa here should be just the opposite. The gersa is the opposite. Shkufim mibechutz, that the wide part was on the outside, va'atumim mibefanim, and the narrow part was on the inside, which is the opposite of what the Morris says here. Yeah. Very little light. As if the base of Midrash is there to shed light to the rest of the world. Not the outside light is supposed to come in. If you learn the Gizan in our Gemara, then you have to touch the word Shkuf Matum, exactly the opposite of what I said. But the word Atumim, it doesn't lend itself, so I don't know exactly how to touch it. Yeah, so how does the Atumim mean wider? So how does Atumim mean wider? If you learn the Gizan here, Atumim B'chutz means that the wider side is outside. Somehow or another, Atumim also means wider. Not sure how.
Davening north and davening south. How can you daven?
It's east, but if you want to have both, you daven due east. Then you get both. Best of all worlds. We're davening north here now, aren't we? Yeah. What? We're davening north. So we're always more interested in affluence than the seichel.
No, seichel first. Because if you have
then you can daven another way.
You can get the affluence. If you have affluence, you don't get
seichel. Well, I'll figure that one out. It says you have to have a mind itself. If you're facing one direction, but in your mind, you have
so
to have
it.
Well.
You can face any direction?
No. Technically, you can. Well, I just said right here. It means northeast or southeast. Let's say the rest of the world davens east. It's northeast or southeast.
He needs to
daven south. This is testimony to our world. That I'm dwelling amongst the Eden. Maybe the Beis Hamikdash needs light as well. The whole year the Eden went in the midbar. The whole year the Eden went in the midbar. They followed. They followed my light. My amuda age. They followed my light. So therefore, I don't need light. I give light. Tesh already asked. Why don't you just talk about the sun? Why are you talking about the Anania, the Amad Ha'esh? Talk about the sun every day gives you light. I need light. I'm the creator of the sun. And Tesh made the Tzorchin. El Eidu Chabal Eilam Shashchin Hashem Yisrael. My Eidu said, well, how do you see the Eidus? Amarav is a name Aravi. This is the Western light. Sha'anoisim Hashem put an oil kenegah chavirisei, equal to everyone else. Oyimen emal ligaboy mesayim. We'll have the Gemara later. A big machlekes, and we had it in Rashi and Shabbos. Long Rashi is where there's a machlekes if the menorah was from east to west or from north to south. If the menorah was from north, if the menorah was when you walked in the base of Midrash, which was the east side, and it was east to west, then Neir Maravi, what's the name Maravi, is when you walk in not the first candle but the second candle. So the second candle from the left, in other words, the closest to the east, but one further in, that's called the Neir Maravi. That's the Western light. Because otherwise, which is Neir Maravi? Which one is the Neir Maravi? So that's just because all of them are Neir Maravi. They're all going towards the west. So you have one which is Mizrach. This is how we learn. One is Mizrach, and second is the Maravi. And that one there miraculously burnt longer than everything else. And the way in times of Shimon HaTzadik, it burnt 24 hours. So they used to use the wick over here, clean out all the other ones in the morning, Hatova, and then you used to use that wick to light the other ones, and then they took this one out and cleaned it up, and they used the other wick from there to light it.
If you said
if you learn east to west, the Neir Maravi was the middle one. The middle one was the Neir Maravi, because that one actually faced. If you learn north to south, then it's the middle one, and the middle one faced the Kodesh Kodashim. All the other ones faced the middle one.
Even though you said they all have to face the middle of the menorah.
They all the ones did. Yeah. All the other ones faced the middle of the menorah, but the middle one faced the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why it's called Ner Maravi, because this is the only one that faced Maravi. And we'll see in a few blocks the whole machlek is there. And there's a long rashi if you want to see exactly how it goes. And there's a long tesig. There's other pshatim, like four different pshatim, and how exactly what happened. Says the Mishnah, okay, we're going through each one. We want premium. In other words, the bottom line of here is when you do a mitzvah, you got to do it properly, and not just to be yitzah. You have to do it, and here we have special things. So now we have here we went through the wheat, the barley, the oil. Now we're going to the wine. So where's the best place to bring proper wine from the city called Keduchin, Va'atulin, whatever that is? Alpha Liyayin. This is number one for wine. Again, they're using Greek words, alpha, I'm not sure. But you see here that they use Greek, as you see in a minute. Shni Lahen, second is Beis Rima, Beis Lavan, Bahar, Ukvar Signa, Bebika. These are all different regions in Eretz Yisrael where it's very good for producing wine. Kol ha'rotzes hayik shedus. So everything again, like we learned before, all three regions of Eretz Yisrael you can bring the wine from. Elamikana imivin. Ideally, bring from here. Eimivin, do not bring loyme beis hazvolim. Don't bring it from fields that need a lot of fertilizer because it's inferior. Loyme beis hashlochin, not from fields that require irrigation. It's inferior quality. But loyme machaniz, and if other things are growing there, here's a bit of a problem because we have a thing called klai akedim. You know, you're not going to have anything else growing next to vines. So it must be quite a far, we learned six tefachim away, whatever. It must be far away from the vines. And yet, even though it's far away from the vines, it's still sucking out nutrients that it's affecting the wine. Even though other places we learned that they use a dafka plant next to the wine, used to add something to the wine. Maybe flavor, not nutrients. Sorry, what did you say? Could very well be. Don't know where these cities are. Maybe, does it say where these cities are? Sorry? I bet your Steinsaltz has. You go for Tanakh. You go to Tanakh and look at the different places. Or similar names, at least. The Imhevi, if he brings kosher. A Mavin, you don't bring Halistian. You don't bring Listian. Now, Listian is a Greek word. So you see already that the Mishnah used to use Yistian, supposed to be the sun. How do you say sun in Greek? It says that it comes from the Shoedish of Yistin or Justin or something, which means the sun. And it means that the grapes that were soaked with the sun that became sweet by being in the sun. So another Greek word. Im hevi, but if it did kosher, but the evet, if you brought it this kind of sweetness, it is kosher. It says right here that in Greek it alius is sun. Alius. This is in the Edge of Israel, in Israel. We're talking about cities in Israel where they should get it and everything else. In the 40 years we had, Tracy brought down before that they used to have, first of all, the Be'er, the water of the Be'er used to fertilize us to have grass that had things growing. That all had a little vegetable garden patch, you know, little hobby farms. Amavian, they did not bring Leimusik, they did not bring wine that was oversweet. So it's not premium quality, Vilemush, not if it's smoked. Vilay Mavushal, not cook wine. Big machlekes, what cook wine over here means, because this is the basis, you know, that by Kiddush. There's a machlekes, if you're allowed to use cook wine. The Gemara Bava Basra says that any wine which wasn't good for Mizbeach, we don't use for Kiddush. And here it says you don't use cook wine. We had a Bava Basra in the Hamoiches Asapetis, that you don't use cooked wine. What's the definition of cooked wine? The Rosh takes it literally, you just cook the wine. Which is, that's why the Shulchan Aruch brings an opinion in Ramban, you're not allowed to use cooked wine for Kiddush. And the other opinion says that you can. But others say cook wine over here doesn't mean that kind of cook wine. Cook wine here means, and I'm trying to remember what they say. I already forgot what they say. But there's another pshat here what cook wine is. Maybe we'll come back to you. Vim hevi, but if you did bring pasul, not even kosher but the evid. Ain mevim and adulayas, you don't know me, you know, these vines that are like trestles that grow on top, don't bring those grapes. Elam in Haraglias. Only those that go on top, they don't mature that well. The wine that comes out of them is not good. But if they crawl along the ground, that's good because they're getting also the soil. You don't bring from the vineyards that have been dug up. Don't put them into very large barrels because the wine goes off. Ela bechaviz ktanis. You should bottle them in smaller jugs. The eina memalas a chaviz apia. When you bottle wine, don't fill it up to the very top, because there's a certain fragrance that wine has, and if you don't give it any space for the fragrance to sit there, it'll just escape from the barrel. Leave a little space. That's why you always have bottles of wine. You always see there's a little bit of space there, so the fragrance can sit there and help the wine mature. If you want that the odor, the fragrance should sit there and settle there. You do not take the wine from the very top, because the very top you have a skim or the scum that's sitting there on top. You have to skim it off. We don't want that. There's skins on top of that. There's like pieces of flour there. You know, it's pieces. We don't want to use the bottom.
Maybe in English it's called tenons. I'm not sure.
Maybe. The loy mishleh, not from the bottom, because you have the dregs there. We don't want those little pieces there. They're the sediment. Mipnei hashmarim, because of the sediment. Elamevi, where do you bring it from? Mishlisha me'emtza. Very odd way of saying the middle of the barrel. You put the tap right in the middle of the barrel. So, you know, you divide the barrel into three parts. And the middle third, and the middle of the middle third, which is exactly the middle of the barrel. Why are you such a funny lotion? I don't know. Keita, now. So you start, you put a tap in, and the wine starts flowing out, and this is what we're going to use for the Nesachim.
The barrel, do you hold the barrel on the side also?
I mean, to light them down, yeah.
That's clearly
didn't have that then. Keitzah, who bite now, as the water's flowing out, eventually he'll tell you to stop, because the quality is, you know, the bottom, you know, all the skin, the dregs, everything else settles in the bottom, you don't want it. So he stands there. But only thing is, if it's in the middle, how do you get to the wine in the bottom? Eventually they have to tip the barrel, and you're getting more and more wine. Otherwise, it's not, you're never going to get below the tap. How are you going to get the bottom half of the wine? But a gizbe yeshiv, the gizbe, the guy is sitting there, the hakana be yodin, has this measuring stick in his hand, or a yardstick in his hand. Zora kagir, when he sees that pieces of white start coming out, he watches, he supervises. This is mashgiach. When he sees that pieces start coming out, hekish bekana, gives a bang with a stick, as if to say stop. Now, why doesn't he just say stop? The Gemara is going to say a very interesting thing, that talking words are bad for wine. It's good for incense, but it's bad for wine, as we'll see. And we already had it in other places. You say that that piece is there, we shouldn't use it. Sounds like if we did, but the evidence, it's all right. I say, not only it's a good idea not to use it, but if there's actually kamach in there, it is possible. It says in Pasik, tmimim yiulachem umin chasam. We're going to use the word tmimim. The one Pasik says tmimim yiulachem. And then the next Pasik says, umin chasam sorry, blue of a shaman. We're going to take the word tmimim and add it to the next pasuk where it says in minchasim that tmimim yiyu lachem. It should be tmimim minchasim and vinischem. Also, the nischem, which is later on, should also be tmimim. In other words, it should be completely wine, and no alien part should be there. So it's like what? Because if there are pieces there, it's like a balmum. It's not a tmimim anymore. Says the Gemara, Ein Mavi, and you said you shouldn't bring Le Masik wine that's too sweet. V'lay Mavushal, and wine that's cooked. V'lay Ma'ushin, or wine that is smoked. Amim Havi, Pasl, he tells us Pasl. And yet you say, Vaktani Reish, in the beginning it says that Greek word, Ein Mavi, and it's a Listian, which is something wine that became that sweet. Amim Havi Kosher, what's the chiluk of Listian and Masik? Amar Avina, Kroich Vatani, you're right. You're right. As a machlek is showing him how to learn this. Kroich Vatani, put Masik and Listian together. Now, whether you put them both together in the first part, b'di'evet, that is kosher, or you put them both together in the second part, that b'di'evet is possible, is a machlek is a shenim, how to kareich v'toni. So the way Rashi learns over here is, take out the word imhevi kosher, and say, don't bring Listian because, and then read the Mishnah, because one of the things is ashan and ush and all that, and masuk is possible. However, Rav Ashi says, no, there's a big difference, how it became sweet. What made it sweet? Listian b'di'evet is kosher. Why? Because the shimsha, chulya the shimsha loy mais, it became sweet through the sun. I told you before, that it's a Greek word which means sun. If you made it sweet through the sun, it's not mis. And therefore, even though it's not ideal, but b'di'evet, it's all right. Mash'enkein, chulya the peder, the reason it became sweet is because the peder became overripe and it sat there, whatever it is, and became sweet on its own, that means it's off. Then mois, that's even b'di'evet possible.
See you tomorrow, Mr. Shem.